Well, hello, 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 everyone.
Oh my God, we're back for the last time. so welcome to Leftovers. Let's play this first voicemail. Let's just jump right into it. We don't need to explain ourselves. Go, so you guys know who we are.
Hi, Matt and Joan. I'm calling because I desperately need your take on Euphoria. I love it. But I feel like you two would have really solid critical analysis. That's it. All right, love you guys. Bye.
So, Lawson, I have yet to watch a single episode of Euphoria.
I can't believe you're not watching it. It's like the zeitgeist moment. I mean, so initially on the Girls and Gays group, I brought up, I'm like, how do we feel, girls? Like, what's going on? I wrote about it in the newsletter. At the time, it was only the first two episodes that have come out. And when my partner and I were watching it, you know, we got into the whole like, oh, it's so contemporary, like the music choice, the styling, the like camera work, like, you know, Drake being a producer on it was very apparent. There are already...
Drake would love to produce a show about teen girls and sex.
And
would love that
older men
chance.
Abusing them. Yes. Everyone's story starts with their history of sexual or like emotional trauma. There were two chaser characters quickly introduced as main plot points. One of the main characters is a trans woman, played by a trans woman, of course, thankfully. And yeah, it was like a lot. It was like a overwhelming like wash of like contemporary politics and aesthetics and everything. And of course, it's about drug use, overdosing, going back to school after you've overdosed, and everyone knows that. And Zendaya's character plays that in a way that initially was like kind of weird. It was kind of like the whole show kind of had a sense of hopelessness, and each character truly was just like one of like 16 vignettes that the camera was constantly pivoting through, and it kind of felt aimless, pointless, directionless, trauma porn. I was like, okay, like what the fuck is this? I don't need to see people. I mean, obvious trigger warnings for what I'm gonna talk about this, but about sex and everything, but immediately there being like multiple like rape scenes between older men and women that are supposed to be in high school, supposed 16-year-olds, and seeing the way it was played out was not necessarily for me inaccurate or excessive. I mean, it was kind of like the whole time you're watching it, like, okay, this is a bit much. Like, why are we doing this? Like, do we really need to show what like a violent rape looks like between an older man and a young trans woman? And it was like one of those things where the whole time you're watching it, I kept thinking, what is the point? Like, why are we doing this? Like, why do we really need to just show how painful the world is through drugs and sex? Like, we've done this for decades. Like, it's been done 100 times.
Yeah. Well, every generation thinks they invented hedonism. Is like my general
takeaway. Right. No. Seriously, exactly. And like they think they're like, because they're more accurate about the world right now, they can have a take that's different. So I felt all those things. And as the show's progressed, we are 1 week away from the season finale. And I actually really like the show. And I don't take back anything I said. Everything I said, I think, is still relatively true. However, I'll mention Isaac Kariuki. On Twitter, they got to review the film for Dazed, and I asked having seen more of the episodes than I had at the time, because they got the release ahead of time to review it. I asked, like, is it worth continuing? And Isaac said, yes, it's actually, I think, worth it. When you see where it goes, you'll understand why it was set up that way or why it was done that way. And they actually really liked the show, and they thought it was at least well touched on the nuances of what it's trying to cover. And I would say that's still kind of right. I would say I think the show does deserve some credibility for how on the nose it is about what drugs do to people in high school and how that time in our lives is so horrible and so kind of designed from the start to be a tragic, traumatizing experience, that the way that drugs and sex are kind of covered is not, I would say, inaccurate or unhealthy to be brought up. With the way, like, so specifically there's an episode, and this is like not really a spoiler, but if you haven't caught up, like, maybe skip if you really don't want to like know everything. But in the most recent episode, it was about, the episode's called The Trials and Tribulations of Having to Pee While Depressed. That was like the name of the episode. And it's centered, and again, it's constantly covering a bunch of vignettes. And when it goes to Rue, constantly Zendaya, the main character, she is sober at this point in the show, and she has abstained from taking any drugs, even though she's lied about her sobriety multiple times. And currently, her best friend that she's been having this like complicated relationship with is out for the week, or she hasn't seen her for a week, and she's very depressed because of that. And because she's actually to a clinical level of depression, and also, you know, trying to still live life sober after being a heavy drug addict and having overdosed, what she's doing, and this is so ridiculous, she's watching Love Island, and she literally has been watching it for 2 days straight. And she's like, when you watch 20 hours of Love Island, you know that you're like depressed. Having just watched Love Island literally right before turning that on, it definitely like hit a certain way. But the whole episode was about and educating on the fact that when you do not pee for a long period of time, your kidneys start to reabsorb the urine that has been already processed and can cause a kidney infection, and how when you become addicted to opiates and other drugs like that, the response that your brain makes to trigger the need to urinate or to trigger the actual urination in your body is delayed, or like it's scrambled, sometimes doesn't even work. And it talked a lot about how when you do become addicted to drugs, it's very difficult to go to the bathroom, or how when you are then off drugs, it's very difficult for you to also make the effort to do that as well. And when you're depressed, you also just stay in silent day and don't do anything and lie to the people around you and binge TV. And it was kind of like the whole episode, though there was other ridiculous things I won't get into, it just felt very like, I don't know, earnest and humble, in that it really is saying that we don't really have an answer for the way that people, or we don't really have an answer for the trauma that people will experience being addicted to drugs and living in this world of 2019, and specifically in American suburbs. It's not really trying to propose necessarily an answer to that, but it is saying you should know about this, and we should talk about this, and we should know the symptoms so that we can at least possibly avoid in the future this happening again to the people that we care about. I felt like that is what the show has been getting closer to, in a sense. We'll see how the finale goes. I think each character's like hedonism is being critiqued a bit better than I expected, specifically with Kat's character, the one who does the she does all the like fan fiction writing for like One Direction, other people. She becomes this like dominatrix BDSM kind of girl, like an e-girl online. She's like becoming, you know, like one of those women who like spend men's credit cards and make fun of them for being like fat and ugly or having like a small dick. Like she becomes that kind of like persona that some people online definitely are more affiliated with. But what I liked about her character is that they really are trying to remind us that these are people in high school, that we do not know what the fuck we're doing. People in high school are generally just stupid and making choices that we don't really have any justification for making, but we're doing them anyway because we feel that way. And the outcomes of that are not easily understood to us at that age, and we don't really know what to do. And I feel like what I like about the show is you're watching characters go through something that, though you may have not gone through directly, the way that they are experiencing it and trying to move on from it feels very scary accurate. Like the like Kat's character specifically, as she does this more of this stuff online, she's realizing that she doesn't hold the power she thinks she does, and that the internet is of course a medium of which you can have power that you don't have in the real world through her like fan fiction, or through the kind of like what is really sex work that she's doing online. She's being paid to do sexual acts or help people, you know, masturbate, do whatever. And she's realizing that the deeper you go into that, the more people are trying to abuse and exploit that. And that what she's doing is not necessarily wrong, but we live in a fucked up world, and you're still 16, and you're still going to make mistakes, and you're still going to be taken advantage of and not know what to do about it and not be able to talk to anybody about it because you're putting it online or you're putting it in a hidden part of yourself. And every character follows that. Every character, regardless of their ridiculousness, regardless of how extreme or unrealistic or realistic their experience is, they're all still taking it in a way that I think high schoolers actually do, which is irrational, mostly out of fear and through systems that our parents or the institution we're in have designed for us to go through. That's my take.
Well, speaking of Love Island, I love that. I have nothing to say. I've yet to watch the show. You know me, I sit these things out and then come back to it later with a more informed opinion, I usually feel, but that's my own narcissism.
Yeah, you can't. I know you always follow the thing. If you haven't seen it, like, don't really get into it like that.
No. So speaking of Love Island, I was talking to my husband last night. I was watching a lot of it, and we're just kind of going all over the place.
Are you caught up on what Hulu's released?
No, I'm not. I'm a week behind because I'm busy. I know.
Oh, my God.
I just know that Amber switches allegiances in, like, a very shocking way.
Sis, have you gotten to...
No. All I know... Arabella has only been in the...
Okay.
She's
now
only
I know
been
where
in the villa for, like, 3 days.
Oh, you don't even know. They literally add a fundamental structural change to the show that I cannot say.
Really?
It's so good. I want to say a little bit, but I can't. No. I don't want to spoil it for
Is
you.
Is it good, though?
It's really good. Trust me. Oh, my God. It's so good.
The further I get into it, though, what I'm realizing, what's so sad to me is...
That show is tragic.
Curtis is such a manipulative snake.
Okay.
I don't.
When you catch up, we will definitely have more to talk about this.
He is so manipulative. And there's something I was telling my husband. So what I was talking about is, one, I have personally never really vibed with straight culture, never existed in it, never really dated like that. And so I just didn't ever really live that life where I sat around and, like, talked to girls about their boyfriends. Like, I've never lived that life.
That show shows
I was either topping faggots or talking to my friends about topping faggots. Like, that was my vibe. So, like, don't understand.
It's a whole different type of key. Like, it's
where
not...
a lot of these relationships come from. So I won't say with any veracity that this is not what it's like. But I have personally never experienced anyone who talks about sexuality and heterosexuality and romantic relationships with such clinical precision.
Objectivism, like, truly. No, really, they're literally like, if it didn't go XYZ, A to B to C... Like, it's not this, that, or the other.
I know that it is very much a TV show and it is very much a game, but I think what I have said repeatedly about reality television is who you are in reality TV is your most true self, and you are exactly who you are because who you choose to present is still you.
It
might not be who you might actually be, but it is very indicative of who you really are. And I think what it does is, like, this is like this alchemical reaction that happens in the house where, like, people are truly forced to reckon with what they want and how they want it and why they want it and who they are not okay wanting it with. And watching it, I'm like, I have never felt so clinical about love or relationships before in my life. Like,
oh my God, no, the whole time I watch it, I'm like, no wonder so many people are so unhappy and lonely.
If this is what it's like,
truly.
I think you're meaning, like, if this is what it's like for everybody, no wonder everyone's so unhappy.
But when you see the people that are, of course, I said this before to Joan, but I was like, maybe the people on Love Island are meant for each other because they think they can find love on a show called Love Island. Like, it is obviously
my favorite thing on Love Island was when Danny said to Arabella, if you don't want love, then don't come to Love Island. And she, in all full seriousness, goes, wow, that is so poetic. By the way,
there are some moments in that show when Arabella
walked into the house, I was like, this is chaos manifest. Like, do you ever, like, actually
same with Mora, she was
do you ever witness the arrival of a horseman of death? Like, that was watching Moira walk into that house. Is I was like,
Mora is an icon.
No Arabella.
No, I know, but I was still, like, but I love Mora more.
Okay, when they fully show Moira, I was gonna say, when they 100% show Molly Mae getting hit from the back by Fury, I was like, the grunting noises he was making, I was like,
it's shocking.
I have never had any sort of sex that sounds like whatever is happening
it
there.
Looks like that.
But the next day when he goes up to Curtis and says, I was doing it in the fetal position, and Curtis goes, I don't think you're doing what you're describing to me right now. I was like, Curtis, sir, you have done that. So what's really tea between you and your girl, and we could say this because it's a paywall, but, like, watching Curtis manipulate that poor girl,
man,
is so sad to me.
You don't. There's an episode, I will not spoil it.
When he is joking with the guy that Moira kind of thought she liked.
Yeah.
With the bicycle seat jawline.
Yeah, you know what
I'm talking
about,
right? Tom.
Yeah.
And he's fully laughing. And then Moira walks in and Curtis is like, gotta be proper, but he was fully just, like, laughing at Moira and being
making
a huge sexist
jokes.
And making terrible jokes.
Yeah.
When he rated his poor half-girlfriend a 5 out of 10 in the kissing game.
I yelped.
And then thought Arabella was his girlfriend and gave Arabella a 10. Yep. I was like,
and like behind the neck, like, oh my God, girl.
I scratched you behind the neck. That's how I thought you knew it was me. You never scratch me behind the neck. Babe, I scratch you behind the neck every time I kiss you.
There's a scene where, and this is not spoiling, but there's a scene where she says something like, all the other boys like are cuddling, Molly Mae and Tomet, they're cuddling in the morning and they're like talking to each other and you're out like just making coffee or something. He's like, well, maybe I'd like to be the person that makes coffee for everyone. And that was like his entire response to that like comment about I don't feel affection from you is, well, maybe I want to be that person that gets the coffee for everybody. I like that episode. There's an episode, Joan, that you were going to text me so much at because there are two lines that literally
so
me and Pierce ran out of the house. Well, listen, I mean, talk about a show that is so insanely produced to the tens, because I've realized now, because of course, when you watch the show, you're watching an hour a day, 5 days a week for months straight. You realize that literally the only content you will ever see of that show are people talking about Love Island, love, each other, and all of that together. And like Love Island, like they only talk about the show.
Well, they only
and everything
they only
within
cut
the show.
Together, they're not cutting together the conversation about what movie you watch.
Yeah, of course.
They're never going to show that.
Yeah,
no,
they're never going to show that. So like the encapsulation of all that, and of course the way they're shepherded around the villa itself, and the way that they're set to talk, and the amount of drinks they can have, and like the rules they have to do, and like it's so insane.
Okay,
it's
watching them all get ready night after night after night is so wild to me because I'm like,
the makeup room gives
really,
me so much anxiety.
They really sit with a flat iron like that 5 nights a week.
What else are they going to do? What else are you going to do?
Anna, sir, talk about a tragic heroine.
You know, I got Kendall to start watching
Anton
it.
Anton is also
me,
a tragic figure
and
as
she,
well.
She texted me about Anna. She's like, she's somebody that always has trouble with love and will make up like 70% of the season about like that the misunderstoodness of like her love affair. And she was only on like episode one when she watched that. And I was like, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what's been happening the entire time. Oh, yeah. Anton
is a tragic figure.
He surged to the nines, like, speaking of,
can
like,
we talk about Anton?
The produced process.
Can we talk about when Anton admitted that he lays down on the ground and his mother shaves his ass and balls so that he could go be a naked butler at
when
rich people's
shaves
houses?
My bum, I was like, no.
He literally said he has to spread his asshole so his mom could shave in between his cheeks. Because he has a hairy asshole. The look on Moira's face when he said that, I was like, iconic. What else have I been watching? Real Housewives of Potomac, amazing. I'm so happy you started to watch Succession.
Oh my God. Oh, you watched it?
I watched Succession.
You didn't tell me you watched Succession.
Lajin, Succession is one of the best shows on television.
It's so good. I'm going to watch it right after this.
In the first episode, when he goes, you see, I've bought a ranch, and below the ranch is water. And someday, lots of people are going to be fighting over water, and I have all of it now.
I almost lost my mind. Like, I almost, when they were like, oh, we're going to go play the game, and they like fly, they fully take a black car to a helipad off Manhattan, fly to some like Hamptons ranch, and have like 40 people set up baseball game, like with like the tents and everything.
And then when they give the looking boy, like this, the boy passerby, he's like, I'll give you $1 million if you can get
and
a home run.
He writes the check and everything.
And then rips it up in front of him.
When he can't make the home run. And then the mom, like, and then what's his name?
They
the guy gives him
the NDA.
Yes, that was that okay. Hit.
By the way,
the right way.
Tired underscore ugly, the Twitter user that is one of the
most legend.
Iconic, legendary
best
Twitter users of
yes.
all time, made the point that the politician lady's husband is Renata Klein.
Listen,
like Renata Klein wishes. I was like, legendary assumption.
When
legendary,
like trying to propose to her
analyses.
When he's trying to propose to her because they're not sure if the father's gonna make it, and thereby he would get whatever cut she gets of like the settlement. I was like, I've never seen something so tasty. Like,
but Daddy, I want to be in politics.
So good. So I love how
the media acquisition in the very first episode is legendary.
I love how they
does anyone want to call their dads?
And then the dad calls. It's like, but dad, I need help.
I love that show. I love it. I love it. I love it.
It's so good.
So
season
good.
Two comes back next month, right?
Yes.
Perfect timing. Thank God.
Such a good show.
Guillotine the Rich.
It's that show, though. Like, where... Okay.
I'm only on episode two, so don't spoil too far.
Okay. Oh, I'm so happy I haven't told you anything that happened yet, because I was going to spoil it for you. Okay. What else have I been watching? I think I said this on the main episode, but my husband and I watched 800 episodes of One Piece in 6 months. If that's not what depression looks like, honey.
I've been feeling that specter of One Piece orbiting me, because mainly because also Chris has been watching in the house. So you guys are all like on that tea, like you're all caught up. So there's like literally 800 million hours of content to like discuss. I'll do it someday.
What else am I watching? Younger. Hello. Best show on television.
I need to.
Please catch up on The Bold Type, the worst best show to ever come out of anything.
Oh my God. You know, I started watching Six Feet Under. I'm finally doing it. Are you like... What?
You didn't own the box set since 2005, sir? Like,
it came out when I was literally like 6 years old and like ended when I was
and
like 10 years old.
And I watched it the minute I was old enough to understand content.
I've been hearing the intro music, that like light piano key, like my entire life, because my parents were always watching that every week when
it came out. I cannot believe you've never seen 6 Feet Under.
I can't believe either. I've only seen, so it's so funny though, because I watched like all of Dexter, which like RIP.
A joke.
Literally the last few seasons, I was like, are you just going to ruin everything about us?
When they rode up on a jet ski into the hurricane.
Shut up. I don't want to talk. It's so dumb. But Michael
the
C. Hall.
The specter of that hurricane.
But I've only seen Michael C. Hall as the literal serial killer, like crazy. So then seeing him on this show as like, I'm sorry, but the gay black cop character, I'm like, what is going on? Like, it's just so, 2001 was such a time, but it's also like obviously my favorite show already. Like, I literally love it so much. It's like I needed that like episodic, like, what feels like a Midwest drama, even though it's set in LA, but like getting that feeling of like hominess and like, I don't
just
know, like
rewatch
genuineness.
Parenthood like I do every
okay.
5 minutes.
I was thinking of doing that because Pierce hasn't seen it and I need him to, I kind of need him to
Pierce
see Parenthood.
Pierce is literally from the Bay Area and he's never watched iconic Bay Area show
but
Parenthood.
Listen, that house is not a home that's in Berkeley. That home is like the most, they live in the most unrealistic settings in the Bay Area. I'm like, no one owns a house like this. The people
okay,
that do.
Okay, the fact that he lives in the Berkeley Marina on a houseboat kills me every time.
I mean, that's actually kind of accurate.
No, what kills me about that show, though, is when you realize that everyone on that show is the 1% of Berkeley.
Exactly.
What's your name that lives in the hills? But I just, that stuck with me for my whole life.
The fact that you can even live in a like actual family home with like 4 or 5 bedrooms in Berkeley means you are the 1%. And that, and also my favorite thing about that show, too, is that when you go to the house, it's like all 4 sides covered by like forestry. I'm like, so this is like an estate. Like you own like an acre or something here.
No,
like,
I think they
this
live
is
in
no
like,
joke.
I think they live in like Rock Ridge or kind of like up by where your
like Oakland
lives.
Hills kind of area,
but not obviously where your partner lives. I mean, like behind that, you know. The
you mean
mountain.
Like where you mean like where my partner's parents?
Yeah.
No,
legendary.
Love that. Okay, real quick, back to Potomac. Have you seen the latest episode with that quote unquote unseen footage?
No. I mean, you read my essay about it.
Oh, of course I did. I know, but like the most recent one that just came out.
I
like,
wish
the other
I had
day.
Waited another week because.
I mean, you got enough. I mean, all I'll say is anyone who has seen that, like, unseen footage they play at the end, I feel like it's, like, for the housewives that truly will believe anything they're given to, like, spoon-fed to them, because that's the feeling it is. It shows that something happened, but if you already believe that, you already believe that. If you don't, like, it doesn't prove anything to you. Either way, though, that is the best show
on
TV right now.
Oh, there is one thing I want to play for you.
Love it.
A new song came out this week. And I think...
By who? By whomst?
It's very important to
okay.
talk about this song. You've never seen this, Lawson? You haven't seen this?
Wait, what?
Lawson! You have not seen Sonia Morgan and Portia Williams... pop song for Fiber One diet bars about getting plastic surgery.
How did I miss this? How? I, every day, every fucking day, I see the bullshit things the Housewives fan post, and I missed this? Oh my God, there's a video?
Yes! Lawson, we're gonna play the full thing here. It's a reaction video now. This is YouTube reaction video.
Oh my God, this is... So, okay, these dresses are terrible. Nice. the once asymmetrical stripe. What? Okay, Sonia looks so... Okay, the fiber one box. Oops, hang on, girls, let me fix my top. What is this? This balloon factory? Chris watched this and goes, that's Porsche's group. What? This looks expensive. For Fiber One? What does this mean? What is it about? It's about plastic surgery and...
I think you need one more tweak it. Like, tweak it, tweak it, tweak it, tweak it. How would you know, Tamara? That's my opinion!
What beat is this? It sounds so familiar.
It's an Erika Jayne beat for sure.
I was gonna say, like, this seems super...
Time for these rumors. I'm too busy getting this work done.
Looking like a snack, only found the one man. Got that, getting on me, take it with them. Give them my sticks and get that working. Keep it tight, give it right back to working. Go back to work. Huh, me? I'm getting work done 24/7, 365. Speaking of Jenny Holder, sorry. Like,
work done. For the
camera. I mean, it kind of bombs.
Work done. Work done. Work done. Work, work, work. Work done. Work done. Work done. Work done. We work done. Work done. Work, 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 work. Work done. Yeah, I've had a little work done. Who
hasn't? Who came up with this? Who did
and
this
it's
serve?
All the housewives that are like surged to the nines.
It's so disparate though. Like Portia, Sonia,
Tamara.
Like, why?
Listen.
That was the postmodern experience.
Did that not change your life? No. Postmodernism is Bipling's bipping. Can we talk about the best pop song ever made?
Who is it that dated?
Boris Johnson. Bipling. Having an affair with Boris Johnson, allegedly. We'll get back to Bipling in a second, though. We have one more email, voicemail.
Yes.
That we're going to play. And it's a story about some YouTubers.
Hi, Joan and Matthew. My name's Cody. I'm a gay of the girls and gays. I'm just listening to your, like, official 100th episode about, like, YouTubers, like, you know, their, like, consumption, like, how that affects the culture, that article, and, like, how some people will, like, buy an outfit and return it, like, so, where I live, I work at a pretty, like, a very well-known beauty retailer. Yes, I'm a communist who works in retail. One day when I was not at this beauty retailer, like, there's a lot of cognitive dissonance there. Like, it's absurd working in retail. There are, like, I live in kind of a small town, but there are some famous YouTubers who live around here. They're not Jake Paul level, but they are very well, I think, well-known in their circle. They played a game once that, they came into our store, they're regulars in the store shopping with their girlfriend. And, anyways, they played a game for one of the girls' birthdays where she came in and, like, they videotaped her. Anything she could carry, she could, like, you know, they would buy for her, like, but if she dropped it, she could no longer purchase it. Anyways, whatever. They played this big game where it's, like, the whole point of it was consumption. Like, she could buy as much as she wanted and, like, it would, you know, they would pay for whatever she could afford, she could carry. The next, and like many of my coworkers were filmed without their consent for this video. Anyways, long story short, the next day they returned it all. Like, and I wasn't there when they returned it either, but this was all brought to my attention. So it's like the consumption is so real and so absurd. And like the consumption is the point. Like they don't even buy things because they want them. They buy things because they can and they want to videotape it. Anyways, thanks for being, you know, voices of reason in the scary times. Okay, bye.
Okay, don't you die.
If you've been listening to what we've been preaching and saying, like, like, actually, that's exactly what I expected. Like, why not just not have to spend any of the money and get all the views and engagement that you want? This is literally that YouTuber article we talked about on our 100th episode about literally the effects of people buying shit just to make it look like you have a lot of money and then returning it, which is literally just shortchanging everyone involved. Absolutely have to laugh.
Okay. Well, that's that, I guess. I mean, I have nothing else to say about that. I think it speaks for itself. And I think we are done with this episode. I would like to end, though, with a song for you, Lawson. I've just been thinking about this song a lot recently. I think it describes who we are. I think it describes our aesthetic. And if we could assimilate it into this Patreon theme song, like for our Patreon theme songs, I think it'd be fun. I think we could work something out. But like,
real quick, what, before we get into that,
fine, go.
I just want to say, Big Little Lies, all you fucking dummies that want to act like this show is supposed to be the next Oscar-winning feature and supposed to be nuanced in every form and facet, and then everyone deserves this like Oscar-winning performance in a TV show. Get over yourself.
I love that Nicole Kidman described it as Meryl Streep trying to get in on a group chat. She's like, someone asked her what the plot of the new season was, and she's like, Meryl Streep tries to get in on our group chat.
Exactly. No, it's literally just a like HBO mini soap moment. It's just watching Nicole Kidman in a wig fight Meryl Streep in another wig, and like in court, and you know, like, we get, and it's just flashbacks. All I care about.
Chris was explaining to me the new season, and she was like, okay, you have Nicole Kidman, and she's like, I'm struggling with abuse.
Yes.
You have Zoe Kravitz, and she's like, I'm struggling with lying. You have, what's her name? Reese Witherspoon, and she's struggling in her marriage.
Yep.
You have Renata, and she's struggling about losing money.
Yeah.
And then you have Shailene Woodley, and she's struggling with bangs.
Her story's literally about struggling with PTSD of being raped by Nicole Kidman's husband, but literally you wouldn't like realize that almost, that it's like the storyline. Like, it's not. It's... No, truly, yes. Are there 12 editors and 2 directors and a whole mess that made this show what it is, and it totally was pulled out of everyone's ass last second? Yes. But why do we have to just, why can't we just have fun? I just want to have fun. I just want to have a good procedural moment.
The Lie.
I just want to talk about The Lie, and I love them all meeting in their SUVs on the cliffside in California. It's just fun. I don't get it. I don't know. Everyone had to get their panties.
I only want to watch a show about Renata.
Oh my God, no.
I haven't seen a single episode of the second season.
You watched Enlighten, right? You were catching up on Enlighten.
Of course.
Oh my God. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, let Laura Dern just scream and yell, and it will be better than most TV out here right now. That's all I have to say.
Well, I'm going to send us out with a song.
Okay. God.
What do you do? Blog. I know where. You have a blog. Me too. This is who Boris Johnson's having an affair with.
I've never seen the video.
She's hip. She's bit the funky chip with the saucy dip. Yeah. Oh, you didn't know Bibbling invented her own language? Bipping is her own language.
Wait, is that like
mooching,
legit?
Mooching, yar, bipping.
I thought this was just like cool British slang I didn't know about.
No. That's her own language she invented.
Well, good for her. Owning the means of production. That's what we love to support on this podcast.
Anyways, I just wanted to leave us with that. So, 1, 2, 3. Hi.
My name is BB Rexha.
And I'm in the studio doing something I've never done before. Wow, we're not going to do that for a month. No wonder we're uncoordinated. Goodbye.
Does anyone fucking know this fucking song?